Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, July 19th, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it will reconsider its decision not to list the giant Palouse earthworm under the Endangered Species Act. Moscow City Council to discuss finalizing city police contract with the University of Idaho tonight. Idaho Department of Correction wants to consolidated prison abuse lawsuits thrown out, and Haitian visitor to Moscow discusses need to learn about organic pest control for food growers. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said today that it has agreed to take another look at protecting the giant Palouse earthworm under the Endangered Species Act. Last year, the agency received a new petition for listing from a number of environmental groups, including the Center for Biological Diversity in Portland. The group's old petition was rejected on appeal by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last month. The Fish and Wildlife Service denied the first petition because there wasn't enough information on the elusive worm, which is the only native earthworm on the Palouse. The new petition has higher chances of success, possibly because of the discovery of four living specimens on private land on Paradise Ridge earlier this year. The discovery by University of Idaho researchers in late March was the first sighting of the worm since 2005. In 2005, the earthworm was thought by many to be extinct. Center for Biological Diversity spokesperson Noah Greenwald said today, "Given that it has wasted 4 years since our first petition, we hope the Fish and Wildlife Service will move quickly to protect the earthworm and its increasingly rare prairie habitat." Washington Association of Wheat Growers spokesperson Scott Yates said today his group thought the Ninth Circuit Court's decision on the original petition last month was the final word on the earthworm's endangered species status. Idaho's First District Member of Congress, Walt Minnick, has rejected the endorsement he received by the national organization, the Tea Party Express, saying the group's failure to publicly rebuke its spokesperson, Mark Williams, for his controversial blog post satirizing the National Association for Advancement of Colored People was wrong. Minnick said today the Tea Party Express, quote, has apparently decided to stand by Mr. Williams and support him. I cannot agree to that course of action. Minnick is the only Democratic candidate for Congress endorsed by the National Tea Party group. The blog posting referred to NAACP President Benjamin Jealous as, quote, Tom's nephew and NAACP's head colored person. The new blog posting by Williams yesterday says his earlier post was, quote, inflammatory and arguably over the top, just ask my wife, criticism of the NAACP. The Moscow City Council was holding its annual budget workshop today at City Hall. The workshop is scheduled to go until 5 p.m. today and reconvene tomorrow morning if necessary. In addition, the City Council will hold its usual meeting tonight at 7 p.m. at City Hall. The agenda for the regular meeting includes the city's planned police services agreement with the University of Idaho, a proposed nuisance fire alarm ordinance, which would make it an infraction to make a fire alarm that is not the result of the belief there is a need for emergency fire services, a fee waiver request for Gritman Medical Center's Hogfest event, and a status update and a request for direction for the West Palouse River Drive Ballfields bond election. The proposed police and security contract with the UI is for $938,000 for the first year, which is $91,000 less than the current contract, meaning campus patrols will be reduced slightly. If approved, the contract will be adjusted for inflation every year and would last through 2014, with the option for two renewal periods of 3 years each. The contract is also on the State Board of Education's August agenda. Grittman Medical Center's fee waiver request involves the $36 per hour fee for each of two police officers required for the August 28th event, which is a fundraiser for the hospital's Cancer Resource Center. Last week, the administrative committee recommended waiving the fee for one of the two police officers. Tonight's agenda also includes a report on the Southeast Moscow Industrial Park Master Plan project from Community Development Director Bill Belknap. Whitman County Commissioners and the County Planner have said they will not sign affidavits requested by an opponent of the county's industrial wind turbine ordinance. After learning of plans by the company First Wind to build turbines on Naff Ridge between Oaksdale and Thornton, turbine opponent Carolyn Keyes of Thornton wrote a letter to the four elected officials saying, quote, "To dispel any potential semblance of impropriety or conflict of interest, please provide a sworn statement under penalty of perjury or affidavit, if you prefer, informing Whitman County citizens whether you have a conflict of interest in regard to the development of commercial wind energy in Whitman County." The officials told the Daily News that none of them own land on Naff Ridge and said they would not sign an affidavit because it would set a precedent. Keyes asserts in her letter that state law allows her to take legal action against the officials if they don't answer her questions, but County Prosecutor Dennis Tracy told commissioners that Keyes does not have legal standing to demand the affidavits. Commissioner Michael Largent said an affidavit would not put Whitman County residents at ease, adding, "It's strictly Carolyn Keyes doing this because she isn't getting the answers she wants. It's fine that she opposes my opinion. However, I represent more people than Carolyn Keyes." Earlier this year, Keyes, along with Roger Witten of Oaksdale, unsuccessfully appealed the county's determination of non-significance for the new wind energy ordinance under the Washington Environmental Planning Act. Ruling in April, Superior Court Judge David Frazier of Colfax said Keyes and Witten did not have legal standing to appeal the ruling of non-significance because they were not aggrieved parties. At the time, Witten criticized the ruling, telling the Whitman County Gazette there were plans to build industrial wind turbines 2,000 feet from his home. A husband and wife from Albion died when the motorcycle they were driving was struck by a pickup truck Friday afternoon. 55-year-old William Russell was driving his Harley Davidson with his wife, 59-year-old Kathleen Russell, as a passenger when it struck a pickup driven by 27-year-old Brandon Reynolds of Moscow. Reynolds was making a left-hand turn into a driveway on the Palouse-Albion Road at about 4 p.m. Reynolds was not injured. The Washington State Patrol, the Whitman County Sheriff's Office, and the Coroner's Office are investigating the accident. Idaho Department of Correction officials were in court today to ask that a lawsuit from the 1980s, which ordered the department to change the way it treats inmates, be closed. In the early 1980s, there were so many inmate lawsuits alleging mistreatment ranging from ritual rape for new inmates to denial of medical care that a judge ordered them all to be consolidated into a single suit, which became known as the Bala case, after lead plaintiff Walter Bala. In three separate rulings, the correction department was ordered to stop overcrowding, take measures to reduce extreme violence, provide warm clothing, and improve access to medical and psychiatric care and rehab programs. State attorneys were expected to argue before federal Judge B. Lynn Windmill today that remedies ordered by the Bala case are in place, and litigating current inmate claims under the Bala suit is cumbersome and inefficient, making it more sensible to close the case and litigate new claims separately. Attorneys for inmates, however, say closing the lawsuit will imply that the causes prisoners prisoners' mistreatment at the Idaho State Correctional Institution have been fixed. Inmates and their attorneys included testimony from an inmate who nearly bled to death while waiting hours for treatment. A former doctor at the prison, Ralph Heckard, stopped doing contract work for the prison because of what he alleges are, quote, rampant violations of plaintiff's Eighth Amendment rights. Heckard wrote, there was only one doctor for roughly 1,500 inmates and no pharmacists at the prison. He called the medical treatment system for patients obstructionist, citing how treating a prisoner with colon cancer requires medical personnel to apply separately for permission to perform a colonoscopy, a biopsy, for each follow-up appointment. And if the patient required surgery, separate applications are required to allow treatment by an oncologist, a surgeon, a pathologist, and an anesthesiologist. Then separate applications are required for each step in the follow-up process. All of the applications have to be authorized by the medical director of Correctional Medical Services, the company that contracts medical services to the prison. Heckard testified, even when all the paperwork was in place, transportation or scheduling difficulties would make inmates miss appointments anyway. Heckard also said medical treatment is all but non-existent on weekends and after business hours, saying that the prison routinely barred him from ordering emergency medications for prisoners whose meds had run out. Attorneys for the state did not respond specifically to the allegations, but only said, if they were valid, the inmates would have filed to hold prison officials in contempt for violating BALA rulings. U.S. District Judge Fred Van Sickle in Spokane Friday turned down two proposals to move up the date of the criminal trial against Spokane police officer Carl F. Thompson, Jr. Thompson is set to go on trial for violating the civil rights of mentally ill janitor Otto Zem and lying to federal prosecutors. Zem died 2 days after Thompson struck him repeatedly with a baton and tasered him in 2006. Thompson was involved as several officers hogtied Zem and placed him on his stomach for 17 minutes until he stopped breathing. Van Sickle had set a trial date of March 7, 2011 to give the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals time to consider a prosecution appeal of his decision to bar evidence that Zem had not committed a crime. U.S. Department of Justice trial lawyer Victor Boutros requested a trial date next month to give the Ninth Circuit judges an incentive to quickly consider the appeal. Attorney Jeffrey Feiner, representing Zem's estate, also asked Van Sickle for an earlier trial, noting the health of Otto Zem's mother and Zem. Thompson's trial had been set to start June 7th, but prosecutors announced their appeal of the evidence rule after potential jurors had arrived that day. If the trial moves forward next March, it will be nearly 5 years after Zem died. The Gonzaga University Board of Trustees chose interim president Thane McCullough as the permanent president of the Jesuit-run university on Friday. McCullough is the first non-Jesuit president of Gonzaga in the 123-year history of the school. A draft environmental impact statement by the Bureau of Land Management has found that a proposed wind farm at the north end of Steens Mountain in southeastern Oregon would have little effect on the area's pristine high desert beauty. More than 20 environmental groups in Oregon have voiced concern about a plan by Columbia Energy Partners of Vancouver, Washington, to place 200 wind turbines, some of them 415 feet above the juniper and sagebrush. The spokesperson for the company said it was nice that BLM upheld their position that the visual impact is minimal. The EIS was prepared for the BLM by the group Entrix Environmental Solutions. Idaho officials are still hopeful they can receive Federal Aviation Administration clearance to expand airspace and landing facilities to accommodate F-35 fighters at the Mountain Home Air Force Base and potentially bring $1 billion in an economic boost to the state for the training that would take place here. Other states are competing to get the jets. Special Assistant for Military Affairs for the Governor's Office, Bill Ritchie, said a request for the airspace for training flights for the fighters was denied so it would be available for commercial planes to use during bad weather, but there are still issues to discuss, and he is optimistic that something can still be worked out to bring the fighters to the state for training. Airline passengers going through security in Boise will have to choose between being viewed by full-body X-ray scanners or having a full-body pat-down and wand screening. The three backscatter advanced imaging scanners that see through clothing were brought online Saturday. To mitigate passenger security concerns, the person you see face-to-face doesn't see the image of you in the scanner, and the person behind closed doors looking at you on the scanner sees an image with your face blurred. Transportation Safety Administration officials also say the machines can neither store nor transmit the images. A Spokane Valley SWAT team discovered a body they believe to be 39-year-old Jan R. Demurlier, who allegedly attacked his ex-wife and two sons, killing the woman and leaving a 9-year-old in critical condition with a head injury early Sunday morning. The man, believed to be Demurlier, was found dead of a gunshot wound in his garage. Police say Demurlier was identified by the 16-year-old survivor of the attack. King County investigators are still trying to determine the cause of an argument between two groups of picnickers that left one person from each group dead of gunshot wounds at Lake Sammamish State Park. Two other people were hospitalized, and at least 20 spent bullet casings were found at the site. Benton County officials canceled a car show at the Kennewick County Fairgrounds, fearing violence and gang activity that would come in the wake of an appearance by a rap group. County officials said their contract with the car show did not include a concert. A spokesperson for the Rollers Only Lowride Car Club said the club has no gang ties and the event was to be family-oriented with children's games, face painting, and ice cream cakes. Oregon conservation groups have reached a settlement with the Federal Emergency Management Agency that will require the agency to consult with biologists about possible harm to salmon before they issue flood insurance to developers along rivers in Oregon. Northwest Environmental Defense Center attorney Andrew Hawley in Portland says the flood insurance provided by FEMA is spurring development in sensitive floodplains. A similar agreement was won in Washington State when NOAA fisheries biologists found easy access to FEMA flood insurance was jeopardizing salmon survival. In the Oregon agreement, FEMA will only back projects where developers have shown they have mitigated damage to salmon habitat. A visitor from the Haitian island of La Gonâve, just off the coast of Port-au-Prince, says he is in Moscow to learn how organic food growers in the U.S. use pest control. During a two-hour interview this afternoon on KRFP's Words and Music show, Abner Suver told show host and translator Nancy Casey about his visit to Moscow, which began on July 2nd.
The first and foremost is to visit gardens.
Especialement des jardins.
So there's two gardens that I'm spending a lot of time in.
Des universités dans Moscou.
And, well, there's two universities in the region.
Et moi, ap travail nan jardin université Washington.
And so I'm lucky enough to be able to be working in the organic garden at Washington State University.
Et ma travaille dans jardin et Idaho.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also working at the University of Idaho garden, the Plant Science Center.
Ça qui intéresse moi c'est Jean jardin organisé.
And the thing that is really interesting to me is the way that these farms and gardens are organized.
En pi chache qu'on ait plus de système et gens yo empêché et insect.
And I'm especially interested in learning about systems for fighting insects and garden pests.
Sans yo pas utiliser produits chimiques.
I think we need to learn to do this without chemical projects.
Qui veut dire ça, c'est premier ça qui encourage me travailler dans jardin ça.
This is probably my biggest interest and motivation right now as I observe techniques in a lot of different gardens.
En pis, m'toujours impressionné Jean moi mon yo ap travail.
I'm really impressed by the way I'm seeing people work.
En pis ça fait me sentir Jean nous même n'ap travail dans pays nous. Nous devons travailler plus toujours.
And even though I said that Haitians know how to work, I'm thinking we even need to work more.
En pis, c'est pour l'aime tourner et en Haïti.
And so when I go back to Haiti,
pour parler, encourager moun, réunir plus sous expérience yo gagne.
What I really want to do is to talk and to encourage people to meet even more and more and share the experiences that they have.
Pour yo capable travailler plus.
So that they can work better and more efficiently.
Pour yo porter plus solution avec et insect.
I think if they were speaking to one another more, they would be able to discover more solutions about what to do with insects.
En pis ces gens moi ici yo utiliser en pile déchets.
I see here they use a lot of manure on gardens.
Surtout compost.
They use a lot of compost.
Qui veut dire ça yo c'est des bagailles nous fait en Haïti mais qui fait vin plus renforcer pour encourager l'aime tourner.
It's not that we don't do these things in Haiti, but being here and seeing the way they're used so extensively really reinforces that for me.
En pis j'aime moun ki nan jardin yo vle ban mwen information malgré et barrière ki devant mais quand même m'joine en pile information.
And I'm also really impressed with the willingness that people have to help me out and give me information despite the language barrier.
Ou konnense même jan et en Haïti yo lò rive l'école lang ou te kon pale c'est pale yo pale nan sal klas et créole ou kon pale lò rive c'est français ou dou vous pale.
So I'm sort of like in the same situation as a school child in Haiti who, speaking their native Creole language, they go to school and it's all in a foreign language, French. Mm-hmm. Well, everything I'm learning is in a foreign language here, too.
That was Abner Souver of the Matawa School in Matawa on the Haitian island of La Gonâve, speaking today on KRFP's Words and Music Show. He was translated from Haitian Creole by show host Nancy Casey. Next week on the Words and Music Show, Souver will be in conversation with plant pathologist Louise Marie Dandurand, and the week after that, he will speak with nurse practitioner Marie McHugh about healthcare issues in Haiti. The Words and Music Show airs Mondays from noon to 2 p.m. here on KRFP in Moscow. Well, thanks for listening to the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly clear, low 48 tonight, and clear to mostly clear conditions through Wednesday, high 85 tomorrow, 87 on Wednesday, low 50 Tuesday night. Partly cloudy Wednesday night, low 50, and clear to mostly clear conditions after that all the way through Saturday, with highs around 84 Thursday and Friday, 89 on Saturday, lows around 50, currently 78 degrees, fair skies. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at about 6:35. Around 7:35, we'll have music with Rebel Base Camp with Tristan. All here on KRFP Moscow. Remember, every edition of the KRFP Evening Report is available online at the Radio Free Moscow website. Have a good night. It's KRFP Moscow.